Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Two men sustained life-threatening injuries in a crash on Interstate 29 in Dual County on Tuesday. Tony Mangan with the South Dakota Public Safety Department says it happened just after 3 p.m. at mile marker 154, 18 miles north of Brookings. A car was northbound when it hit a patch of ice on a bridge deck. The car slid across the median and into the southbound lanes where it was struck by a semi. The driver of the car, a 25-year-old man, was taken to the Brookings Hospital and later transferred to Sioux Falls with life-threatening injuries. A passenger in the car, a 27-year-old man, also sustained life-threatening injuries and was taken to the Brookings Hospital. The 43-year-old man driving the semi had minor injuries and was taken to the hospital in Clear Lake. Neither occupant of the car was wearing a seatbelt. Both were ejected. Authorities say the car ended up in the ditch and the semi came to rest in a cornfield. The names of those involved were not released. One person died, another was seriously injured in a single vehicle rollover last night in Sioux Falls. No names have been released yet. The two male juveniles were the only people involved. A 1997 Jeep Grand Cherokee was northbound on I-229 when the driver lost control of the vehicle while traveling across the Big Sioux River Bridge. The Jeep left the road, rolled down a ditch, and hit a tree. The 15-year-old driver, who was wearing a seatbelt, was dead at the scene. A 16-year-old passenger sustained life-threatening injuries and was taken to a Sioux Falls hospital. A road construction project east of Watertown is expected to be finished in just a few weeks. A roughly 15-mile stretch of U.S. Highway 212 from South Dakota Highway 15 to the Minnesota state line is close to reopening. We checked in today with Jeff Brink, who is with the Watertown Regional Office of the South Dakota DOT.
We have a handful of concrete pours left to do, and we kind of have those scheduled out where we're going to do a couple more this week, weekend, and then a couple next week. And by the end of next week, we should have all of the concrete work done. But just because it's done, we need to give it, you know, half a week to a week for it to gain strength before we can open traffic up to it.
Brink says it looks like the detour signs will come down and that stretch of highway will reopen to traffic on November 25th.
Fairly confident with that statement. I mean, obviously things can change or things could happen where pours don't happen, but right now we're looking at the light at the end of the tunnel.
The project also includes repaving the shoulders of the highway, but Brink says that work will have to wait.
When we last spoke, they hadn't hardly even started the shoulder work. Now they've hauled in gravel on most all of the projects. There's still a few spots where they need to haul in gravel. And for the winter, that's all we're going to have is a gravel shoulder. Next spring, we'll come back out and we'll make it an asphalt shoulder.
The total cost of the project is $14 million. Knife River of Sioux City, Iowa is the general contractor. Rural roads on both ends of Coddington County are busy these days. Sheriff Brad Howell says it's due in large part to wind farm construction that's happening, and it's resulting in more traffic and more traffic complaints.
Well, we have had some driving complaints, speeding, stop sign violations. So there's been a lot more activity up in that area, in the South Shore and the Waverly area. One other thing that people, that I should say I forget about is there's also a big wind tower farm going up by Clark there, and all that traffic is also coming through Wallace and Florence and coming to Watertown and to our surrounding areas as well. The South Shore Waverly Wind Tower Farm, both over 500 employees that are traveling to and from there on a daily basis. So that's a lot more added traffic to the northeast part of the county. And I can only assume that that's the same amount of employees, if it's the same size of project, that's happening up in Clark. So that's a lot more added traffic than what we're used to on, you know, our daily traffic.
And when you add in a late harvest, drivers need to be paying attention.
You have the farmers that are out going a little bit slower with their combines and their moving equipment, and be mindful, be cautious. Once again, slow down. There's deer. There's a lot of things going on, a lot more people moving in the areas. So make sure we're mindful and use a little bit more time when we're traveling.
The South Dakota Attorney General says a Sioux Falls police officer was justified in shooting a fleeing suspect last month. Jason Roundsburg says a review of the October 6th shooting by the South Dakota Division of Criminal Investigation found 29-year-old Trent Wagner fired a revolver at police before an officer shot and wounded him. Two police officers were responding to a 911 call, reporting that Wagner had showed up at a residence uninvited and armed. Investigators say officers who later encountered and chased Wagner on foot ordered him to drop the revolver before one fired 12 shots, hitting him three times and wounding him. The officers were not injured in the incident. Officials say lab tests later found meth in Wagner's system. October passenger numbers have been released for the Pierre Regional Airport, and they're very impressive. Airport liaison Commissioner Jamie Huizenga says Pierre easily passed the 10,000 passenger boarding mark for the year.
October 2019 had 2,081 departing passengers, which is 90% more than we had in 2018. Total enplanements as of October 31st are 11,439, and based on our projections, our enplanements for the year should be at 14,500. The United and SkyWest are just doing an outstanding job.
Huizenga says a recent study by the State Department of Transportation shows just what kind of impact the Pierre Regional Airport has on Central South Dakota.
Maybe surprised to know that that study showed that the Pierre Regional Airport accounted for $31 million of direct off-airport revenue every year. That does not include the revenue that circulates throughout the region. That's $31 million being spent in and around Pierre every year because of our airport and the people who use it, which is great news for even the people who don't fly from Pierre.
Watertown Regional Airport boarded nearly 1,500 passengers in October, and they'll go over the 10,000 mark for the year later this month. South Dakota Senator John Thune, who chairs the Commerce Committee's Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, Innovation, and the Internet, says major Internet companies continue collecting vast amounts of consumer information.
Internet companies become the repository for an ever-increasing amount of our personal data, our personal information, from what we ate for dinner last night to the temperature that we like to keep in our house.
Thune, in a speech on the Senate floor, says he heard concerns at a hearing he held last summer, which led him to introducing new legislation.
One reason I decided to hold the hearing was to inform legislation I was developing that would require internet platforms to give consumers the option to engage without having the experience shaped by algorithms that are driven by their user-specific data. And last Thursday, I introduced that legislation called the Filter Bubble Transparency Act here in the United States Senate.
And Thune says most internet users don't realize what's going on at the other end of the internet.
As I've said, a significant cause for concern is that most people are not always aware that the information they see is being filtered. We're trapped in what one observer has termed the filter bubble. Our own private world, filtered search results and tailored content without even knowing that we're there. There are real concerns that the ever-increasing use of filters to shape our internet experience contributes to political polarization, social isolation, and addiction, as well as permitting companies to manipulate user behavior.
The bill with bipartisan sponsors would require large-scale internet platforms to provide greater transparency to users and give more control to consumers over what they choose to view on online platforms. News is available anytime on our homepage. Find us at gowatertown.net. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.